Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This microphone stands a little limp. I'm having to squat down to talk on this microphone.
Microphone dysfunction?
Yeah. Need something. Need some help.
Your microphone. He starts the show by saying his microphone stand is a little limp.
It is. That's the exact perfect way to describe that. Is there another way that you would have described that?
Jeremy, when you get to be a certain age and experience MD, how do you fix it?
I don't know. Can you help me out?
Microphone dysfunction. I don't know.
I'm just saying. I think it's a perfect way to describe what this microphone is doing. Look
it
at that.
It looks more than dysfunctional. It looks like it's about to go bye-bye.
Yeah. It needs like a, you know, whenever you have like a wobbly table and you put some sweet and low under it?
Or you're at the bar and you fold some napkins
Yeah. That's what I need right now. I just need some sweet and low, maybe some napkins, wedge it right in there, and we'll be good to go.
Well, unlike Paul Gallant, you know where the kitchen is in this place. You can go get some sweet and low packets and fix it.
The new one you're talking about? I'll be honest with you. I knew that kitchen was there, and I couldn't find it. Like, I knew there was a kitchen on that side of the building, and I could not find it.
Paul, he had a whole conspiracy theory that people were intentionally keeping him from knowing where the free coffee and the other kitchen was.
Asmund didn't know there was coffee here, too, and he's been here for a decade.
Do you never walk the halls? I mean, all you got to do is walk to that hallway.
I don't get it.
I mean, are you afraid to walk by David Gao's office? Because, I mean, just walk down in that area, and you can figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. They're idiots, both of them. The Astros didn't play baseball yesterday. And when the Astros don't play baseball, I usually am alone with my thoughts. And my thoughts can run away with me. And when my thoughts are running away with me, it's a very dangerous place to be. But this is actually something I noticed when I went to training camp the other day. I don't think Nick Caserio wants to win. Like, and I know that we talk about that, especially on this show, because you've created the mantra, embrace the suck, which I'm totally on board and 100% with. Sometimes people let their imagination run with them and kind of change the narrative on what exactly that means. But I look at this team, and it's not built to win. And it's like, well, you don't want them to spend money. Look, I get that. Like, this isn't really for me. But there's a lot of people out in the city. There's a lot of people that listen to us. There's the Twitchers that certainly want to win. They want the Houston Texans to win, right? So for these people, this is an issue. This is a problem. I look at this team from a depth perspective. How can they win football games? Like, I understand, like, if the Texans stay completely healthy with their 22 starters all season long, maybe they'll have a chance. How many times in NFL history has the starters from day one stayed healthy the entire year?
Yeah, no, the odds aren't good. And I think that's why I've been realistic about this. It's not just for the betterment of the team long term. It's the realistic approach of looking at a roster that was the worst of the entire league a year ago. And no matter how good Nick Caserio has been and what they've been able to do in the draft, you can't resurrect an entire roster or a depth of talent on a roster in one draft class when knowingly and rightfully so, they're not going to spend a boatload of money in free agency either. You just don't have the chance to become that good that quick with the roster that was that bad for that long last season.
Well, I agree with that. And look, this isn't me to like temper the expectations and be like, oh, you shouldn't have, you know, hope springing eternal like you have it the first week. Or this isn't me saying that, you know, professional football players at professional training camp are going to do good things. Like, I'm not trying to spoil that or be Debbie Downer when it comes to that. But whenever I look at this roster and I look at the depth chart, and I'm actually speaking to the people that want the Houston Texans to win. Nick Caserio has not built the 2022 Houston Texans in a way to win. He's built them in a way to develop and grow. Just look at the depth chart. Like, Davis Mills should be the starter in 2022. And a little bit later, I'm going to tell you a path of why he could be the franchise quarterback. But what competition does he have? If Davis Mills has a sprained ankle and misses 6 weeks, you're rolling out Kyle Allen as the backup quarterback. Jeff Driscoll, who they literally converted to a tight end a year ago as your third-string quarterback. There is no depth and no chance of anybody challenging Davis Mills. And, like, I don't even want anybody to challenge Davis Mills. But if he goes down, I mean, you got the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Here's the thing. I think that fans want you to appease them by doing what they want. Nick Caserio is appeasing the fan base by trying to say the right things. But as we've pointed out for you, when you truly read between the lines of what he's saying, He's letting you know without letting you know the plan is we're going to suck for a two-year period of time, maybe more. I don't think so. But we're going to do what we need to do in my plan and internally as we've had discussions to make this team the best it can be for the long term. In order to do that, winning plays no part in the first 2 years. If we fluke into some wins and it makes you happy, that's fantastic. Does it make us happy? It depends on how many wins they sure. are. But I think that overall, it's appeasing the fan base by the things you say, but sticking to the plan, doing the things that you need them to do.
I think a lot of times we have a global outlook at the Texans, which I think you should, because the Texans are in a rebuild. And Nick Caserio, if you look at the tea leaves and you look at the evidence, is telling you that you should as well. He might say, oh, yeah, we don't view it as a rebuild. But look at the roster. I just mentioned the quarterback position. Like, normally on NFL teams that are aspiring to win, they think they have a chance to maybe get to the postseason, make the playoffs. Usually you see some depth at positions. Usually you see some veteran presence at positions of where you have young players. Even if you think the young players are ultimately going to be the starters and get all the run, usually you have veterans in the room that, you know, are there in case things go awry. Or if there's an injury, you have a good presence that can survive six games by, you know, taking over for the starter. I just mentioned the quarterback position. Kyle Allen, and look, go Cougs. I love Kyle Allen. Not an NFL starting quarterback. I think he's a backup quarterback for a very long time in the NFL, but if you have to play him significant games, you're in trouble. The running back position, and the running back position is an upgrade over last year. Completely agree. Marlon Mack was demanding a trade early last year because he couldn't get on the football field for a division rival. And I understand they have Jonathan Taylor, but he was the fourth string, basically, in Indianapolis. They couldn't carve out any carry. Any. Not two or three or four or five. None. They couldn't get Marlon Mack on the field. Damian Pierce. I think Damian Pierce is going to be a good football player.
I do, too.
He was a fourth-round draft pick. Rex Burkhead, your third running back. There's zero depth, if anything, at that running back position. And look, Mack, maybe he's going to have a resurgence in his NFL career. Damian Pierce, maybe he surprises as a rookie. But how many teams are going into the season with a dude who can't get on the field in the NFL last year in Marlon Mack and a fourth-rounder as your top two, you know, bell cows on a football team?
Yeah, look, it's again the sign of what we can kind of decipher where they are as opposed to the fan base who it's where they want them to be. We got a guy that was a former starting running back in the division that was just dinged up. He's going to be great.
4 years ago.
Yeah, but to them it doesn't matter. He's still, you know what? The thing is I was reading ESPN today, they did camp position battles for each different, for the Texans it was running back. For running back, it was the fact that Mack was going to be coming back and is showing signs that he can still do it. There was a lot of praise for Pierce. But at the end, your boy said that looking for the most consistent running back in camp, well, Rex Burkhead.
Who said that? They don't know what they're talking about.
It's the new ESPN writer covering the Texans.
Rex Burkhead's going to play, but Rex Burkhead's going to be third on this
team.
I'll be
honest, I don't think he should play.
You can make the case for that. Like, I don't mind a Rex Burkhead in the room, in the running back room, whenever you have a rookie, but he shouldn't be getting significant touches. And look, I think Mack has a chance to be all right. I think Damian Pierce someday is going to be a good rookie.
Have you seen this, though, by the way? Are you not concerned, too, the issue lately? They're not playing Mack at all. They're hardly giving him the reps that they're giving to Pierce.
Well, I mean, Mack's been in the league for a long time.
I hope that's the case.
But that's kind of what I'm saying here. Like, the Texans' year, 2022, if we're looking at it in a vacuum, because, look, season's right around the corner. Season's going to be here in a month. So, like, we're talking about the 2022 Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. We're probably always going to have a bit of a global approach because we think it's more rebuild than trying to win in 2022. And Nick Caserio with the depth chart is telling you that. Marlon Mack couldn't get on the field for the Colts. Yes, I realize they have Jonathan Taylor, but they also had Hines, and Hines was getting more run than Marlon Mack. Damian Pierce, a fourth-round running back. Okay, yeah, I think he has potential. Probably not out of the gates. The wide receiver position, like, they had a very bad luck there with John Mechie. But even if John Metchie's there, your number two and your number three guys are a second rounder you hardly used last year, didn't use them very much, that you're hoping takes a step up, and a rookie that you drafted in the second round.
That's coming off injury.
Sure, that's coming off injury, and you didn't expect to have for the first month of the season anyways. After that, who do they got? Philip Dorsett, Chris Conley, Jalen Camp, Connor Weddington, Chad Beebe, which is Don Beebe's son. Like, they have no depth. Well, they don't care about winning.
They got retreads that have a hard time staying on the road in rain. I mean, it's like you're not... Again, read between the lines to be a savvy fan and realize this isn't in the plan. It's not in the cards the way you want them stacked. no matter how much you want and hope and anticipate that this is the team that's going to surprise and shock the world and do some things this year, they're not, because they're not there yet.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on
roster-wise.
It's relative term, like surprise, 6 or 7 wins, I think, would surprise. I think six or 7 wins is capable if all goes right, if they don't have to rely on the depth. Come on.
You know that there's a pocket of this fan base that believes they could shock the world and be a wild card.
I was talking to somebody on Twitter today, and maybe they were just trolling. Maybe they were being silly on Twitter. But he was like, yeah, I believe in this team, 12-5 for the Houston Texans. I'm supporting the Houston. Look, and this isn't a criticism for a fan base that wants the Texans to win, because that's fine. Like, I understand that logic. If you want the Texans to win right now, great. Go. Like, I understand that. Go cheer for your team. Put on the colors. Be
support
loyal.
Support the hell out of
them. I'm fine with that. And, like, I'm fine being optimistic and hope springing eternal. And this isn't even, like, blaming Nick Caserio, because I think this is how the team should be built. I think Nick Caserio should be building the team this way. But if you read between the lines and you look at the clues and you look at the depth on this team, this is not a team that was built to win in 2022.
No, it's not. But I'm trying to say this as positively. I'm not trying to be derogatory towards the fan base, because I get it. Every fan base is rabid about winning, and that is their ultimate goal. But I think that sometimes you have to be rational and realistic and also forward-thinking in your approach to realize a winning season this year could set you back. But if you're rational and realistic about how you get back to where you were and then hopefully further than you've ever been before, it's by following the plan that Nick Caserio has paved for you.
Yeah.
It's by doing the things you need to do and realize it's a step-by-step process. And the worst thing that can happen to you is skipping a step.
Yeah, but I mean, you can overcompensate for that. Like, to me, it's not the global conversation. It's like looking at this 2022 Houston Texans and having like an idea of what they could be. Because like if you're picking 12th instead of 3rd, the chances of you landing a really good player, you know, you still have a good chance of landing a good player, but you'd rather be selecting 3rd than 12th. Like, no argument there. But you can overcompensate for that by drafting well. Like, you could pick somebody at 12 that's better than you can pick at number 3 if you hit, if you win. Now, that's not to say I'd rather have the 12th pick than 3rd, but you can overcome that.
You can, but I think that, again, if you were looking at trying to overcompensate a little bit to try and do some things, then they would have spent more money in free agency. They would have been more aggressive, and they would have looked at more players. So I think that, you know, it just trying to be realistic to set the table for expectations for this fan base and looking at it, I go back to just the initial thought process. How can you expect a roster that was rock bottom of the entire league to suddenly turn the corner so quickly and perfectly that they are going to take this astronomical leap into a different stratosphere in 1 year? It's not realistic.
I look at the depth chart, and I look at how Nick Caserio has built the 2022 Texans, and I actually agree with how he's built it. I would have done the same exact thing. I think you would have done the same exact thing as well. But am I wrong? Am I wrong whenever I look at the 2022 Houston Texans and expect them to compete? Am I wrong saying I look at this roster and I see Nick Caserio looking at the future, that he's looking at the development more than he's looking at the wins? You tell me. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Also about that, do you care that this team isn't built to win right now? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I love Fitz Roofing. I love Corey, the owner, and I love what they do for people in Houston, Texas, because the fact that they have the best ratings in the business, they have the best warranties in the business. They're not going to try and snow you over, get your money up front, and then screw you over during the process. They're going to take care of you every step of the way, and they're going to use the best products in the business, starting with CertainTeed shingles. But more so than anything else, they're going to start the process the right way. They're not going to charge you a service charge to come out and see what you got going on. It's going to be absolutely free. A free, no-obligation inspection just by calling them. 832-521-3001. And it gets them to your door to check out what you're dealing with and tell you how they can help. You want them to do the job, just book it. And once you book it, you'll realize before, during, and after the sale, they will take care of you every step of the way. Go to their website, which is FITZroofing.com, and see all the different ways they can help you. They do more than just roofing. They put a fence in my yard. They can do home repairs. They can do a lot of things that can make your life easier. And in the process, you're going to find out that they're going to be concerned about you and take care of you with great customer service. Best ratings in the business for a reason. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's FitzRoofing.com, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Just looking at this Texans roster, and Nick Caserio didn't build the 2022 Houston Texans to win, nor should he. But there is a chunk of this city, there is a decent population of Texans fans that say, let's win now. Let's win games. You can go first to last all the time in the NFL. And we were talking about this yesterday, that 17 of the last 19 seasons that there's been a team that's finished last place in their division in the NFL that has went from worst place or last place to first place. The Texans don't qualify, because we had some people texting us yesterday saying, well, don't rule out the Texans. Well, you have to rule out the Texans because they didn't finish last place in the AFC South last year. Jacksonville did. But 6602 texting into the HRMP listener line, and we're asking you, do you care that this roster is not built to win? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. 6602, a lot of laughter. I almost crashed my truck when you read off the receivers for the Texans. Look, I like Brandon Cooks, but he's a low-end number one receiver in the NFL. Nico Collins, I think, has promise, but you're counting on Nico Collins to go from being, you know, a mid-round pick last year that was seldom used to all of a sudden being a stalwart at the number two receiver for an NFL team. How many teams around the league at their number two receiver spot have a seldom used second-year guy expected to take a big leap if you're trying to win football games?
Yeah, not many.
Not many. Look not what many. Jacksonville did.
See, and this is the thing, but here's the other thing, and it goes back
not
to...
Not any, I think.
I think you're right. It goes back to... Maybe Green Bay.
Look at Green Bay. They brought in veterans, though. They brought in Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, but they got two rookies. They got a retread in Randall Cobb. That you think about no tread on the tires. You're talking about a guy that's ending up in the ditch if there's even sprinkles.
I understand that you don't like what Green Bay did at the receiver position, and understandably so. But they drafted two guys, Watson and Dalbs. They have Randall Cobb, who's a veteran guy, but they brought in Watkins, who's been around the NFL for a long time.
And Lazard's their one.
And Lazard's been around. Now, he's not a very good number one. But the Texans, after their three receivers coming into the year, Cooks, Nico Collins, John Mechie, they go Chris Conley, Philip Dorsett, Chris Moore, Chester Rogers, who they just signed, and then dudes you've never heard of.
Well, and the thing is, Jeremy, if you go with what most people would assume is a team on trying to win, a team trying to win goes out and replaces when they lose a receiver for whatever the reason in training camp with a veteran receiver. They go out and look at Cole Beasley. They go out and look at this list that keeps coming out on Twitter every day of receivers that are still on the market that could possibly help. If you think Nick Caserio was really trying to win this season, he would have already had those guys in for workouts, into the camp, to try and figure out if one of those guys could be better than what they have and be a guy that could make a difference. They're not looking for that.
Our Twitch and Richard William, who's always very, you know, he's part of the Mills Mafia. He's pro-Mills.
Isn't that the president?
Probably the president, mayor, governor, all of that. And look, I'm going to tell you in a little bit how Davis Mills, I see a path for him to be the franchise quarterback. Even if Davis Mills is the franchise quarterback and he proves in 2022 that he's going to be the franchise quarterback, let's eliminate Davis Mills from the conversation. How good does Davis Mills have to be for this team to win 10 games? Tell me. He's going to have to be Peyton Manning. He's going to have to be Tom Brady.
Elite Peyton Manning.
He's going to have to be a top
Not
five
Peyton Manning
quarterback.
Broncos. He's going to have to be elite Indianapolis Peyton Manning.
Exactly. He's going to have to be a top five quarterback for this team to win double-digit games.
But you mentioned Green Bay, and then you mentioned even having to be what he has to be if he's elite Peyton Manning. The thing is, I have doubts because no matter how good you are as a quarterback, there's only so much you can do with what you're working with, right? You know what? It's like expecting miracles that they think in Green Bay Aaron Rodgers is going to make this entire wide receiving crew better.
Which he could. He should.
He can make each guy a little better, mm-hmm. but can he make any one of them into Devontae Adams? No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
But I mean, he's at least Aaron Rodgers. Now you're talking about a guy that was a third-round pick, talking about a guy that's still unproven no matter how many people have seen the positives that we saw in the second half of the season. And now you're expecting him not only to be better and continue to improve, but you're expecting him to be like at an all-world level, and that's not fair to him. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to the fan base. You need to be realistic.
Nick Caserio has told you by the way that he has built this team that he does not care about winning in 2022. You got to read the tea leaves. And look, we're hearing from all of our texter, 713-780-ESPN, if that's okay with you. Are you upset with the fact that Caserio has not built this team to be a winner? All of our logical ones, I think, are texting. I want to hear from the dudes that want the Texans to win if you're okay with the way Caserio has built this team. Brandon T., I don't care that the team isn't built to win right now. My main concern is Davis Mills getting his chance to prove himself so the team can build around him going forward. Our overlying, I think, mutual thought when you look at the Houston Texans in 2022, we're very excited to see what Davis Mills can be. We might feel that he's not going to be as good as some other people might think he's going to be. I can't wait to see Derek Stingley Jr. week in, week out, defend some of the receivers that he's going to go up against. I can't wait to hear the reports of Jalen, like seeing the reports of Jalen Petrie being this, you know, stud rookie safety out of Baylor. I can't wait to watch that in the regular season. I want to see if Nico Collins can take the step up. So there's a lot of exciting things about the Houston Texans. But winning isn't one of them.
No, we said the young players that he drafted, the young players that are developing, there's enough there along with the Davis Mills storyline to keep you occupied for this season and to feel good. We said, look, I see people tweeting pictures of Jack Easterby on the sidelines, and it doesn't bring as much hate and vitriol anymore because there's too much positive. There's too much positive to focus on. There's enough to keep this fan base, as I've said previously, the light at the end of the tunnel isn't a train coming to run your ass over anymore. The light at the end of the tunnel is heading for brighter days on a daily basis because you're doing things the right way. The last thing you want to do is derail that train that's going in the right direction with going the right way by trying to do too much too fast and find out that you get caught with your pants down because you overspent and you overcommitted to guys that underachieve.
Yeah, we think Caserio is doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like get off my lawn, Texans stink, they're totally failing in the rebuild. I think that they're actually winning it in the rebuild. But because of that, they've thought about the 2022 Texans. That's an afterthought. They're not really caring about that. Look, we talked about the quarterback depth, the wide receiver depth, which is terrible. Like, it's got to be the worst number twos in the entire NFL. And, like, this whole pie in the sky, Petrie's great, Stingley's great, Mills is going to be wonderful, Brandon Cooks is the number one receiver. You have 22 starters in the NFL, offense, defense. They are never going to play every single snap. And once you start to look at the understudies of this team, Nick Caserio didn't care about improving that. We mentioned the receivers. How about this backup offensive line? Charlie Heck, Justin McCray, Jim Morrissey, Max Sharping, Austin Duchulis, I think is his name, from Cy-Fair, the rookie that they drafted. Okay, no one's ever heard of any of those dudes. And I understand they're backups, offensive linemen.
Charlie Heck and Sharping, you've heard of.
You've heard of, and they've been major disappointments. Sharping is a second rounder. Heck's been okay from where he was drafted, but just okay. He's a guy, right? He's a warm body at training camp. Defensively, like Derek Stingley, we hope is going to be wonderful and a lockdown dude. Steven Nelson, they really like him, signed him out of Philly. The backup corners that you have on this football team, Tre'Mon Smith, Desmond King, Jonathan Owens, safety, Graylin Arnold, Isaac Yadum, I think is how you pronounce it. Who are these dudes? They didn't care about reinforcing this team. I think Jalen Petrie is going to be a sensational football player. I actually like Eric Murray, too. Then you got Simone Biles' fiance, Jonathan Owens, back there. You got MJ Stewart, Terrence Brooks. Like, the second string of this team is the worst second, third stringers in the entire NFL.
But that goes back to what I was saying in the last segment. If you're coming from rock bottom, no matter how much you can improve through the draft and a minor move here and there, you can't turn it around that quickly. And so, realistically, in 1 year's time, if you've at least gotten five spots better.
Well, I think that the Texans could have put a team together this year that would give them more wins that they're going to get this year. Like, you could have went out and spent some of the money that you had. You could have been out and, you know, this isn't a great example because the Texans shouldn't be doing this, trading a third rounder for a veteran. You could have sold out to make this team better win-loss wise.
Again, why would you do that?
You wouldn't.
But also on top of that, like, you know, we've talked about this over and over again. As part of the plan and the process, you don't spend the money and especially doll out any kind of money or thinking about giving up draft picks until you are on the cusp of trying to chase a playoff spot. And so to be realistic is also to be intelligent and say there will be a time when you go out and do those things. But this is not the time. And when you are as bad as they've been roster-wise, this is not even close to the time. Now, in a year's time, I think there's a legit chance that you will be ready to do some of those things. Not go like completely overboard like Jacksonville did,
mm-hmm.
but you can start to spend a little more on longer contracts with guys that are going to help you in areas where you couldn't draft another guy where you needed it at a position group.
Look, I think that's 100% true. 100% true. But if you're looking at the 2022 Houston Texans, unless you have this pie-in-the-sky delusion that the Texans are never going to lose a starter, that all the rookies are going to hit, that Davis Mills is going to be a top-10 quarterback, got to be realistic about where the Texans are.
Like you said, God forbid, if Mills goes down, it's a whole hell of a lot worse.
Get ready for a lot of Kyle Allen, who got benched at U of H for Kyle Postma. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can tell me, do you care this team isn't built to win? Let us know, 713-780-ESPN. Also, I'm getting tired of the whole logic that everybody's telling us that, oh, you can't just go from four wins to the playoffs. You got to incrementally get better year in, year out. I call BS on that. I did a deep dive to prove it. We'll do that when we return. But first, doing that deep dive yesterday, you know what I had next to me? I had a nice glass of Gentle Ben bourbon. Last night was a bourbon night. Tonight might be a vodka night. Tomorrow could be a gin night. One thing that is a guarantee, though, with Gentle Ben vodka, gin, or bourbon, is that they're always going to be top of class in everything that they do. And the reason why is that Gentle Ben uses their state-of-the-art, innovative Proseto craft technology. It's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online, gentleben.com. If you're in the Beaumont area, swing by Deb's Liquor. They're selling the Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin. Also head to the Tasting Room in Alvin. Try that bourbon. It is award-winning, and it's exclusive only to the Tasting Room in Alvin. One more thing. You're looking for a place to host your fantasy football draft? Do it at Gentle Ben. One, because the spirits are fantastic. Two, because you can jump up the elite class of your league. Take it up a notch. Have your fantasy football draft over at Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, we'll get into that, the logic of the Texans need to get a little bit better every year. A little bit better this year. A little bit better in 23. A little bit better in 24. And then at some point, they're going to be a playoff team again. Why, that is a myth in the National Football League in about 5 minutes. But we're asking you, I'm looking at this depth chart for the Houston Texans, and I saw this, something that I noticed when I went to camp the other day, and I saw Jeff Driscoll throwing passes that were hitting TV cameras. The depth is just absolutely terrible on this team. And it's Nick Caserio, if you want to pay attention to it, telling you that he doesn't want the Texans to win in 2022. If you win because Davis Mills is sensational, the rookies all over exceed their expectation, and you stay healthy all year, terrific. But the goal of this team is to develop, not to win. So we're asking you, do you care that this team isn't built to win now? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, and we'll go there now. Rhett, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's on your mind, Rhett?
Hi, guys. Well, I agree with 95% of what y'all are saying about the depth chart. However, you didn't even pronounce the man's name right. It's Austin Deculus.
Deculus, I apologize.
They got it. No, it's not that. You just understand. He not only played at LSU, he was a warrior. You had to research this. He either played or started in, I think, the most games for LSU, but the man played not just hurt, injured. He goes out, he battles, he plays against the best. I tell you, the LSU Tiger, and I try to warn everybody, is Derek Stingley. I'm just telling you, his freshman year, the greatest freshman cornerback of all time. All I got to tell you is, do this. After that, he shut it down. Go look at the first game last year against UCLA. I'm talking UCLA, not Auburn, not Alabama, not Georgia, UCLA. And you can look at several other games. He doesn't tackle, and I enjoy the show, guys.
I'll check Rhett, how many games do you think the Tigers win, the Bayou Bengals? How many games they win this year? Oh, he's gone. I wanted him to
get his thoughts. They're going to be on the struggle bus.
Ed Orgeron, see what he thought. Now, look, ridiculous. Like, he's a sci-fi guy. Bobcat fight, never die. Like, I know the story, and I did do a deep dive on every single draft pick the Texans made when they made it. I'm not going to put a whole lot of – was it sixth-rounder, I believe, the Deculus was drafted in? I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in a rookie year one sixth-rounder. I believe everything Rhett had to say. I know that he was a gamer at LSU. I know he played a ton, played through injuries, was a warrior. Look, he went to Cy-Fair. Cy-Fair breeds that, right? Bobcat fight, never die. But I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock on a six-round offensive lineman.
No, you can't. You shouldn't. I mean, maybe in a couple of years, maybe if he shows development. Look, you can draft, you know, offensive linemen later and get results out of them to where they become quality players. But again, that's part of the timeline, too, to realize the development of these players is going to take time.
Exactly. And that's the thing, right? Like, we're looking at the 2022 Houston Texans. Deculus, if he's going to be a player in the NFL, isn't going to happen in 2022.
No, he's not. And you know, and then you talk about setbacks already. You're talking about injuries before we even started. Already one of your two first-round picks has gotten hurt, and it's not Stingley, it's Kenyon Green. But Kenyon Green was a guy who was going to be counted on to a pretty high degree to be penciled in as a starter from day one. Now, if he's already out, now your offensive line is already taking a step back. So, again, you have to temper your expectations and be completely realistic with this team and also have a full understanding of where your general manager's coming from and don't hate him for doing it because he's actually got your best interest as well as, first and foremost, the franchise's best interest for long-term success in doing it with his plan.
Can I be honest with you? And we'll get to the Houston Texans don't need to be incrementally better every single year until they're playoff-worthy in just a bit. Can I be honest, though? Rhett's conversation, like, he's obviously a big Bayou Bengal. He loves the Tigers, which is great. We love, you know, college football is awesome. We know that Houston's very diverse when it comes to college football fans. Good chunk of Tigers, good chunk of Aggies. John and Lance were out in College Station today, excited about their year. Good chunk of Texas Longhorns, of course. A huge majority of Houston Cougars. But does it bother you a little bit that Rhett, who's obviously, you know, in touch with the LSU football program, that he's banging on the table for Deculus, who is a late-round offensive lineman, but he's blasting Derek Stingley Jr.? That worries me a bit, if I'm being completely honest.
Look, I mean, we all had our concerns about the fact that when you have the opportunity, because it's rare when you're looking at a position group in the draft, and no one said they had to go draft a corner, but when you're drafting a position, looking at a position group to draft high, and you have two guys that are sitting there almost parallel, but one guy has medicals. It just seems like it's not just the safest approach, it's the smartest approach to go with the guy that doesn't have the medicals. So it's going to be something that we're going to look at all season long, the way you compare Peña and Correa. It's going to be something that Houston fans are going to rightfully so look at. Do you think that he got the right guy? That's a great question because it's either Sauce Gardner or it's going to be that you think that they still should have taken Stingley. That's the first LSU fan that I've heard.
Or how about Drake London? How about a playmaker? Like, everybody's saying trade for playmakers. How about drafting a playmaker at three?
You could have. You could have. And, you know, it was a draft deep and plentiful with playmakers, especially at the wide receiver position. But, you know, looking at it, you know that's going to be a question. Right? I'm surprised that an LSU fan came out with that to say about Stingley.
I don't feel good about that. I'll be honest. I don't feel good about that. And I like the Stingley pick.
But the reports you've been hearing about at camp is that he looked good.
There's reports that make me uncomfortable about some of them on Derek Stingley Jr., like having him return punts. What are we thinking?
That's a joke.
What are we thinking? 4-2-3-7, fans who want them to win now are delusional and don't understand what a rebuild is. Guess they aren't Astro fans or they would get it. See, this comparison's interesting to me because we've seen the trajectory of the Houston Astros who went from a Drayton McClain middling team to a Jim Crane, let's tear it down to the studs, let's rebuild from the pipeline, the minor league system, and then build this championship organization. Like, the Houston, look, this isn't a knock on Caserio, that he doesn't have depth on this team, that the mantra and the philosophy is more about grooming the young players than it is about bringing in some veteran presence, competing with them, making it a team that even if you have an injury, that you can sustain it. Because I would have done the same thing. It sounds like you would have done the same thing, too. I like the way that the rebuild is going under Nick Caserio. I think he's doing a great job. But if you look at it in a vacuum, 2022 was a team that was not built with winning as the priority.
No.
2022 was a team that's built with development and building through the young players as a priority. So if you were to make the Astros comparison, I think it is the early stages of the rebuild, like 2013, not 14. But the Astros, when you started to see some of the young players come up, okay, we're going to give these young players, even if it's not in the best interest of the win-loss record, we're going to give them 500 at-bats, 600 at-bats. They're going to play every single day because we know that they're the future of our organization. Whereas the other model, that if you go out and you bring in some of the veterans, it's basically like the Miguel Tejada, Pudge Rodriguez, Carlos Lee Astros that, yeah, you're probably going to go 500, but that's as good as you're ever going to get.
Yeah, you're actually band-aiding it with the hopes that it'll appease everyone by just getting where you've been before, just becoming a playoff team. That's a small market team mentality. That's the small market mentality of, hey, if we could just get to the playoffs, if we could really get our fan base energized by showing a year that we could win, we could be doing something here. That's not how Houston's football fans think. That's not how the state of Texas thinks when it's regards to football or any other sport for that matter. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be critical because of it, and rightfully so. But you also have to be realistic in the fact that there's a right way to do it. And as much as it could be painful in the short term to endure it, and we've seen it and had to do it with other teams in this market, the fact is that if you do it the right way, a la the Astros, it can pay off for 5+ years with no end in sight, and you can continue to roll and get to new heights and levels that you have never, and I mean never as a franchise, gotten to. And that's where you have to temper the expectations now for the upside later.
And that's, I think, really the essence of Embrace the Suck. Mm-hmm. It, to be completely honest, it's not to be like, oh yeah, the Texans should be throwing every single day a game and taking a dive like Sonny Liston facing Ali. Like, that's not what you're saying. Chris Brown shaking a field goal to get a better draft pick. They should try to win. They should be competitive. But the way that the roster is built isn't what that is the forefront of mind.
It's not. And I've taken my share of barbs and jabs from people that said, no, I want to enjoy my Sundays. You're completely wrong in saying this. You should have never said Embrace the Suck. Look, I was just being realistic because I want this team to win for the long term, not for a year or two. I want this team to be as successful as it's been and then more so. I want this city to be able to experience an AFC championship game and then a trip to the Super Bowl and then eventually winning a Super Bowl. And the only way to do that is to build depth and talent on the roster in a very, very continual basis with a process, with a plan, with an ability to stick to it, even when there's going to be temptations that can lead you away from it, where the promise is glory for a year or two, but in the end, you're going to not even get to the heights you were previously, I don't think. And so you see a lot of these teams that in all the different sports that try to load up with the veterans you're speaking of just to get to the playoffs. Yep. The team's already done that. They want to do more, and they should want to do more.
I think Casario wants to build a champion, not a 9-8 division title. King of Twitches says Astros didn't have the ridiculous drama and stupid ownership. Drayton McClain was awful. Awful. Drayton McClain might have been the worst owner in Houston. Well, worst baseball owner in Houston sports history. I forgot about Bud Adams for a second. 713-780.
I'm sitting here playing video games and you love me.
At least
me.
Cal gets out of the way and spends money. Like, I'll
not
give that
quickly,
to Cal.
I might add. I'm not a very quick on my foot person.
713-780-ESPN. Do you care that this team isn't built to win right now? Also, we didn't get to it because we kind of got sidetracked a little bit and had the good conversation flowing. But I want to get into the fact, I did this deep dive. Last 10 years, teams that have won 4 wins and their path back to the playoffs. Because everybody tells us, oh, you got to get a little bit better every single year. You got to get a little bit better every single year. What I have to tell you may surprise you. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, I love Doc Linville for a variety of reasons, and he's a great dude, and he's a good friend. But the fact is he is the best that I know of at doing the NeoGraft procedure. And it's a life changer for a lot of folks that have gone through it like myself. The fact is that when you look at yourself in the mirror every day, if you're losing your hair, you're thinning, or you're bald, and you're like, man, I just got to shave it all off. It's that time of my life that I'm never going to get back again. That's false. Because of the NeoGraft procedure and the way Doc Linville explained it to me, you too can be a recipient of the NeoGraft, and you can figure out how you can get your hair back again, and it's all natural. It's not sprays and creams and foams and ways to mask the issue. It's taking your hair where you have a lot of it, and genetically you're always going to have it in the sides and the back, and transplanting it to where you need it, whether it be the baboon's butt on the top back of your head or your forehead that's become an 8-head, and you want to get it back to your original hairline. You can do those things thanks to the NeoGraft procedure, and as an ESPN listener, you can get the process rolling for free. You get a free consultation with Doc Linville's office. You can ask all the questions, find out about the procedure, find out that there's a 95%+ success rate in every follicle moved. That means they're not moving them and half of them are going to fall out. That means whatever they move, the majority, if not all of them, are going to stay and grow and get thicker and stronger and give you the hair that you want. You're going to see the actual process take shape right away. You'll see the end results in about 9 months. It's absolutely fantastic. Get that free consultation today. Go to 975hair.com. Go see my friend, Doc Linville.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Spencer is saying, why is Jeremy talking in all caps? Because I pulled my back out. I threw it out this morning. Spinal. Broken back.
What does that have to do with
not ideal to have to lean into the mic.
It's, yeah, I know. It's tightening up on me. I'm not in a good mood.
But if you're yelling, that would maybe agitate the back more.
Well, I think it's all part of the grumpiness. I threw the back out. I'm grumpy. The microphone's is limp. I'm grumpy. I have to hold the microphone up and lean in. Grumpy. I'm just grumpy today.
God forbid anyone else has to deal with limp mic syndrome. It seems like it's very devastating.
It's not fun. 8486, I wonder if Blankers would embrace the suck with the Packers. I don't think anyone wants to lose in the NFL. That's why it's king.
You must be a Texan, because you have no idea that I've embraced the suck for like 20-plus years.
When
the fact that, growing up, and growing up in Wisconsin all the way almost until I got to college, they were absolutely dog snot terrible, and it was every single year. And that's why one of my favorite players growing up was Walter Payton, because he was one of the best players in the league, and he was close by, and the Packers sucked that bad.
Is that okay?
I had a Walter Payton poster in my room when I was a smaller child because of the fact that the Packers were just so bad for so long. I still watched every Packer game. I wanted them to win, but I looked at Walter Payton going, that's the kind of player, that's a good player.
Is that okay that Blankers is a
Packer
fan?
You can try and criticize me all you want. When you go through that much hell for that, and Brendan, you can relate to some degree.
Yeah.
But this is at a younger age, too.
Brendan was loyal.
I had Dolphins pajamas, Steelers pajamas.
Ooh.
I had other teams when I was a young kid because there was nothing to hang your hat on the Packers.
I definitely embrace another
you
team.
Go all you want with your O's like Santa in reverse.
Payton, Walter Payton, when you're a Packer fan,
I had a
is that
poster
okay?
of Walter Payton.
713,
when you find out that there was no one that could be a
six.
Poster child from the Packers that you put on your wall unless they were doing a March of Dimes campaign or what a United
See,
Way.
And I didn't have that, right? Like, I guess in my, like, youngest years, everyone on the Lions sucked.
Yeah.
But I didn't, when you're 8 years old.
Hold on. You had Barry Sanders.
But Barry Sanders retired when I was 7.
Okay, maybe that's the difference in age there.
Yeah.
I mean, Barry Sanders was I loved Barry Sanders.
In my earliest years watching football, like, Roy Williams was, like, the most interesting player.
And receiver?
They weren't, yeah. But when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, you don't care. And by the time I got to the age of caring, they had Calvin. So at least I had... Joel saying they didn't have anyone to rally around. The Lions did have that.
So,
I liked other Lynn teams.
Dickey like, and I, others that were like worse than the revolving door quarterbacks that the Texans have had.
I enjoyed the Giants growing up, but I definitely wasn't rooting for anyone on the Packers or Bears.
What would be the equivalent? Texans fans growing up right now that are dealing with misery and agony over their football team. That was your life.
I mean, have a Jonathan Taylor poster.
That's what I was thinking. I think Jonathan Taylor's
or
probably.
Or Derrick Henry.
I was thinking Henry, but Henry has ties to – well. The Titans organization has, like, Houston ties and connections there. So, like, I feel like it's not a like-for-like with the Bears. Like, I feel like it's a little bit different. It throws a wrinkle into the equation.
You know,
I think Jonathan Taylor's the answer.
You know how when you're you're a kid in the driveway or in the yard and you're playing the whatever sport, you're trying to say, you know, Michael Jordan with the last shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you don't have a choice of any good Packer running backs to be the guy that gets the breakaway, you're like, and Walter Payton breaks free. Look at him go. And the thing is, we still, the jerseys that we wore when we played football, the helmets that we wore, the ski caps that we wore, it was all Packers, Packers, Packers. But when you appreciated good players and good football, you couldn't appreciate the Packers because the majority of the roster sucked.
713-780-ESPN. Is it okay to have a poster of a rival team that you cheer for? 713-780-3776. I'm just asking the question. I didn't say if it was fair.
You don't
or foul.
Think there were Rockets fans? I've seen plenty of them that have Steph. The kids had Steph Curry posters and came to the
it's
game.
It's a different
in
generation, though. Different generation now versus then. Now it's more individual versus team. I think.
Now you're going to make.
Do you disagree with that though? For real?
I think that the one thing that I always said was that Comcast Sportsnet deal was the start of what swayed kids in Houston because they couldn't even watch their favorite teams for the most part. They couldn't watch Astros and they couldn't watch Rockets in 45% of the city. So they were watching national games in which their teams weren't featured.
Yeah.
And they started liking LeBron and Steph and all these guys. And I think that can start swaying a lifetime of devotion towards another team.
Yeah. I think, too, like the internet, Twitter, the way we digest information.
And look at how many TV deals there are now, right? We see national games all the time. And if your team isn't above average, you're not going to be in those games. And so you're watching. If you want to see the best, you're watching the national games. When you're watching the national games, you're watching guys that aren't wearing your team's uniforms.
Can I get you a Justin Jefferson poster? Will you hang that up?
Not now. No.
Anyways, I did a little bit of a deep dive. I told you that I do these when the Astros have days off. So everybody's been telling us for a long time that you need to get a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better every single year if you're the Texans until you're a playoff team again. So I wanted to actually put some information to that. Instead of just arguing about it, get some real data, some tangible evidence to talk about this. So I looked at the last 10 years from 2022 through now, teams that lost four games that got back to the playoffs. I think there's like 27-ish teams in the last 10 years that have lost four games that have gotten back to the postseason. The most recent were the 2020 Eagles. The Eagles won four games in 2020. They were 4-11-1. They made the playoffs last year. So they went from four wins to being a playoff team in one season.
What was the record?
9-8.
They were in the East, yeah.
9-8, but they made the playoffs. It wasn't the East. It was the NFC. It wasn't the East because the Cowboys won the East. Cowboys won the division. It was the entire conference. It wasn't a division thing. Now, you could say strength of schedule, all that. Now, 2019, two teams, and I didn't look at the teams that haven't made the playoffs, but two teams in 19 that won four or less games that have been to the postseason since then. The football team in 19 went 3-13. And then they won the NFC East with a 7-9 record and got to the playoffs in 2020. So that's not a great example there, but they got to the playoffs in 1 year. 2019 Bengals, they won two games. They won four in 2020, and then they went to the Super Bowl last year as a team that won two games 2 years prior. So that really wasn't incrementally better. Two wins, 14 wins, or two wins, four wins, into the Super Bowl. 18 Cardinals, they went from 3-5-19, 8-20, and then got to the playoffs in 11. So you can make the case that that was incremental success. The 2018 Raiders, same thing. They were 4-12. They won 7-19. They won 8-20, and then got to the playoffs with 10 in 2021. So incremental success there. But how about 2017? The Colts went 4-12. The very next year in the playoffs, 10-6 record, back into the postseason. The Texans won four games in 2017. What did they do in 2018? They went 11-5 and made the playoffs. You could go up and down throughout the entire NFL.
Rosters were totally different.
Sure, but you can't. It's the whole, like, the Bengals roster wasn't different in 19. The Bengals had one of the worst rosters in the entire NFL, and just 2 years later, you're in the Super Bowl, the 10-7 record.
But they got the key players at the right positions, too.
Absolutely, but the rosters were the same. 2019 Bengals, 2021 Houston Texans, they were both terrible rosters. They got way better, and I think that the Texans are in a better shape, too, because they have more first-rounders.
So what's the end result here? I mean,
the end result is you don't need the incremental success. You can go from being a bad team, four or less wins, and making the playoffs either like in year one, or you can actually go backwards, go four wins, two wins, 10 wins, and back into the postseason. The point is that whatever people say, like the whole embrace the suck, that, well, you got to win more games in 22 than you did last year. You got to go four wins in 21, six wins in 22, eight wins in 23, and then be ready to strike for the postseason. That is a myth. You don't need that path to get back to the playoffs.
You don't gotta, and I don't wanna, but I think that you could win a game or two more as long as the guys that you drafted the year before and acquired are going to be able to be filling roles for the long term, that are going to be there for 3 to 5 years and show the growth, show the maturity, show that they're going to be frontline players for you, that you can take the next step. But yeah, I mean, that's what I think, that it's so hard for people to understand that the embrace the suck thing wasn't meant to be a kick in your junk. It was a warning shot to be realistic when this team doesn't do what you want them to do.
16 Rams, 4 wins, 11, playoffs next year. 15 Cowboys, 4 wins, 13 the very next year. 12 Eagles, 4 wins, 10 wins, playoffs next year. 12 Chiefs, 2 wins, 11 wins the very next year, back in the playoffs.
And if they do that, say the Texans would win that, do you think they win the Super Bowl?
Probably not.
Yes. I don't think. And then the following year.
But the point is, you don't need to win six games this year. What happens this year has zero influence on what happens in 23
and beyond. For the people that are saying this is what they need to do, realize you're not going to win the Super Bowl. And then next season, your schedule is going to be increasingly harder. And that's going to set you up for a step backwards, record-wise alone, regardless of what happens with the lack of draft picks in the right positions and things like that.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're talking to you about having that Walter Payton poster. Heath has he wants to talk about individual versus team. What's on your mind, Heath? You're in the Hive.
Seth, how you doing?
Pretty good. Man?
Hey, man, I got to tell you, y'all are talking about the kids. I'm a junior high teacher. These kids, you're exactly right. It is, their mentality is a me over we concept. We've talked before, Joel, remember, I'm the Niners fan.
Yep.
So these kids came into me all year long. How about those Cardinals, Mr. Wells? How about those Cardinals? I'm like, well, that's fine, guys. That's regular season. Even after the Cardinals were eliminated, these kids are still talking about Kyler Murray. I said, guys, the Cardinals are watching the playoffs from the couch. My team is still going. Even after we whooped the Rams on Monday Night Football, these kids are talking about OBJ and Von Miller. And as a Niners fan, I have taught my boys and my class, blue and green does not go together. That is Seahawks colors. If I find me a nice golf polo that I want to wear for work and it's a pretty blue color and it's got a green check, it's going back on the shelf. I don't do that.
Appreciate.
I can respect good players. I love watching Derrick Henry play. I love watching Russell Wilson play, but I still hate his gut.
Exactly. See, like, my little brother's a Steph Curry fan. He's from Houston his whole life. I give him grief over it. I love Steph Curry as a player. Never rooting for the Warriors ahead of the Rockets.
See, and I think that you're right. It's part of the mentality of social media and SportsCenter, right? Because what these kids see and what resonates with them is what they see on SportsCenter. And it's not the team play and who won or lost the game. It's who had the big dunk or the 6-3 balls or the behind-the-back pass as it relates to basketball. And they start following that guy. And then they start following him on social media. And then that becomes their guy or one of their guys. And it becomes the me over we mentality of, I just, like A.J. Hoffman used to say it all the time on this station, he graduated from liking teams to just liking players, and that seems to be the norm.
713-780-ESPN. Is it okay to root for the individual player, even if you're loyal to the city? Also, Browns gear in Houston, kind of similar to this conversation. Is it fair or is it foul? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.